top of the news this evening is speculation concerning the real facts behind a Department of Health announcement about a radioactive spill supposed to have occurred yesterday at the state nuclear plant.
You will die only to live again in a younger body. Then you can tell me if the operation was a success. I could easily kill you now, but I'm determined to have your brain.
You're listening to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of genre cinema. Hi, my name is Chris, and along with Jeff, we talk about movies that aren't really awful at all. Horror, action, kung fu, musicals, post-apocalyptic, women in prison films, and much, much more.
Been to Denmark, which is really weird because my mum is Danish.
Wait, you live with your mum?
Oh, yeah, back in London.
Oh, Mindy, just kidding.
This is Maya.
Hey, Hannah. I just moved here. I was just wondering if you have any books on, like, how to do, like, the Jewish stuff.
Here we are.
Sutra Akra.
Means the other side.
It's an old Jewish superstition. Can't leave a book open, or like a demon might read it and learn from it and use the knowledge for evil.
Have you ever heard of the Kabbalah?
Yeah, sure, like the Madonna thing, right?
Okay.
Forsigtig med den der. Fuck. Jeg kan helt du taler jo dansk. Jeg skal nok købe en ny.
Det bliver svært. Den er antik. Den beskytter mod dæmoner.
Åh, oh, gud.
Det var for sjov.
Okay.
I've never been in anything like this. Serious.
Oh. She's a very troubled woman.
I have everything under control. Just the way I like it.
From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 408 of the Really Awful Movies Podcast, Attachment. It just so happens that after back-to-back weeks of diving into exploitation fare, the likes of Necromantic, Jörg Butgereit, and more recently Death Spa were taking an about-face and a giant pivot here to Attachment, a completely different beast, and what speaks to the sheer variety and ingenuity and creativity that I think is arguably unique to the horror genre. I think the only one that can possibly compete in terms of subject matter would be documentary filmmaking, because you can literally broach any topic. But when it comes down to it, there's formulaic structures that underpin all kinds of period dramas, comedies, and action films in particular, that each of which can also be subdivided into different genres. But horror, the framework just allows for such an expansive palette in which to paint your masterpiece. I guess there you go, Bob Dylan. It appears that something is actually fresh in the state of Denmark. There you go, Mr. Shakespeare there. But this is the second film after Speak No Evil, in which there are fish-out-of-water Danes exploring different environments and different geographies and different spaces and coming out forever changed. Now, with Speak No Evil, it was vacationers who bond in Italy over Chianti and decide to reconnect after going to their respective homes. These are Danes and Dutch people who later reconnect when the Dutch people invite the Danes on a road trip and to come to their, for lack of a better phrase, a cabin in the woods. In Attachment, you have a Danish woman who meets an English woman, and I guess it's with a nod to rom-coms, it's what is occasionally described as a cute meet, where typically you have people who bump into one another and then Yeah, typically if it's a man, they apologize and help the woman pick up their papers or whatnot. And this is something that you get at the beginning of attachment as well, except the principals being queer women and it happening in a Copenhagen library. So what you have is Leia, is played by Ellie Kendrick, who's probably best known for being in Game of Thrones, which I admittedly gave up after a couple seasons because I'm not really into this sword and sorcery series things, unless it's like the peplum sword and sorcery thing you would have seen in Italy in the 80s. And even then, it's not a favorite genre of mine. So, but that's Game of Thrones. But she played Anne Frank in the most recent Diary of Anne Frank, and she plays this Jewish academic who's poking around this Copenhagen library and bumps into, literally, this Dane who's a washed-up actor and is doing this children's entertainment type thing where she's reading from different children's stories. I think it's around Christmas time, and the two of them meet in the stacks, and the Danish woman Maya asks out Leia, and before you know it, they're bonding over tea, and very awkwardly at first in their apartment, and then later over a copious glasses of wine, and then they soon find themselves in a very intense and long-term and pretty passionate relationship. So, I mean, this is not typical fodder from which you would generate a typical horror scare, to say the least. I mean, when you think about your typical horror film, you usually think of a breach of space, let's say, for a movie like, like a home invasion movie, like, say, Hush, or maybe an Intruder from the 80s, or one of these things where or even The Mist or something, where people hunker down in a space to defend themselves, or maybe Night of the Living Dead, or where the scares are more elusive and exterior, but you occupy the same environment and you don't know who's lurking beyond. And that would be the likes of Friday the 13th and maybe Maniac, just tons of examples of these, but never do you see a romance, and a budding romance, particularly between two women, lead itself to anything you'd consider horror, particularly. And that's what makes the attachment kind of unique. And the phrase attachment stems from the infamous one between Jewish mothers and their children. You could also throw Italians in there as well. Or I think it's fairly commonplace in the Mediterranean cultures of all stripes as well. And what happens when Maya and Leia deepen there and further forge their connection is that when the academic has to go back to her home base of London, Maya, the Dane, decides to come with her, and the two of them actually live in Leia's house under the iron fist of this Jewish mother who, it turns out, is, I believe she's widowed and came to the Orthodox faith after being more secular Jewish. It's interesting. I'm not sure what part of, presumably this is East London. I wasn't aware of, obviously London has a big Jewish presence, and Benjamin Disraeli, obviously, among the more notables from history from the area, but I don't associate any particular geography with Hasidims and Orthodox Judaism in the same way that I do with, obviously, parts of Brooklyn, right, in Brooklyn, New York City and whatnot. But you have this fish-out-of-water scene where you have this goy, this blonde lady, who is navigating her way around as an outsider in this Orthodox community. And this in and of itself, as I've said before, in horror films, you can remove or completely excise or surgically do away with anything related to horror if you have a compelling enough story. And these are people in whom you can invest just by being a fish-out-of-water yourself and only having superficial dealings with this community. In the West End of Toronto, there's examples of this Orthodox and Hasidim community as well, and you see them with their 19th century, I think, Lithuanian inspired garb and payas, the long sideburns and the hats. And it's a very cloistered, close-knit community, not unlike the Pennsylvania Dutch or the Amish and whatnot. They keep to themselves and do certain types of work, and it's hard to really engage with them outside of specific avenues. And it's quite interesting then when the mother, Hannah, welcomes rather coldly Maya into the home. And it turns out actually that Hannah speaks Danish as well and has a connection there as a half Danish Jewish person too. So the two of them are living under the roof of this doting mother, and there's Leah's uncle, it turns out, is Lev, who runs a bookshop and with various cultural ephemera relating to the Jewish faith, particularly Kabbalah. And there, yes, there is a reference to Madonna dabbling in that obscurantism and strange belief of Judaism. So you do have Maya, the Dane, trying to, I guess, learn about the culture she's found herself in, and then leaning increasingly on Lev to try and be this sort of moderator, go-between, and fixer in a way to help her sort of see what's going on. And you see her going on shopping errands with Hannah and picking up rugula, which is how would you describe it? Triangle-shaped baked good, usually with some sort of fruit inside. And you have this, and you go, wait, well, what about this is horror? Well, there's Leah finds herself experiencing these late night terrors and has these seizures, and her skin begins to turn, and she begins, she actually breaks a limb in the middle of one of these seizures, and starts to experience these weird, untoward things. And it's almost like a Munchausen by proxy setup, where there's this tension between her and her mother as she tries to forge a life for herself with Maya, probably disappointing the mother and trying to leave the home. And there's supposedly some connection between them, and she says she has to look after her mother, who's mentally ill. And you get this kind of dynamic going all the while when Leah is convalescing. You have Maya and Hannah discussing things in Danish and connecting, and then this Lev character introducing himself and touching on various fables and mysticism in the Jewish faith, which is kind of interesting. And this is done by way of Lev, who acts as a kind of librarian as well, in addition to operating this curiosity shop in a way. It's almost like the Dario Argento film Inferno, where you have this weird bookshop that keeps making an appearance. And this is a very weird movie, too. It's extremely talky, extremely talkative. It's extremely austere in terms of the cinematography, and it has these dark moments that are literally and figuratively so, as it can be difficult at times to figure out what's going on. A lot of it happens at night. There's a lot of hushed scenes in people, like, you know, waiting in corridors and people happening upon one another. It almost has like a historical drama type feel. I mean, this is a part of, and probably understandably so, because when you have this community in the Hasidim and the Orthodox Jews that are sort of stuck in, much like the Amish, centuries past living situations, and everyone frequents the same neighborhood shops, the same everything, and people live their lives in this tiny, tiny block, circumscribed by their own businesses and distance to the synagogue and the shul and whatnot. So, I mean, my God, this is as different a film as you could possibly get from what I've tackled before. And it's, I don't even know how this really came up on my radar, to be honest. Gabriel Bayer Kaplesson, I believe is the guy's name, who helmed this as a first-time director. And it's kind of weird, given the subject matter, you'd think this would have been possibly the work of a first-time female director, given the protagonists and the subject matter and the fact that the male characters are rather almost incidental. It's a way to almost balance the tables from how things typically operate or have historically operated in cinema. So very, very unique. There's frequent references to the Dybbuk, and that's a horror film as well, and which is a spirit that inhabits the body of the living, if I'm not mistaken. And again, Lev is the conduit into that world, both as a subject matter expert, but also as someone who introduces Maya to different reading materials so she can delve into what's happening and she can explore the different worlds and the different monsters. We're going to segue into what I've learned and make this kind of a shorter podcast, but Maya has peanut allergies, of all things, and you Yeah, there's a pivotal scene toward the end where Hana, it seems as if she's turning on her daughter's lover as well, and over this Shabbat meal, I think, tries to poison her. So you get these scenes where you have this weird dynamic of what would naturally be tension-fueled, irrespective of religious or cultural differences. I mean, bringing someone to meet your parents is always fraught with a significant other, you know, to be more specific, is always fraught with judgment and tension and ambiguity and difficulty. And you have this unraveling of this threesome, if you want to call it that, and the tension between them reaches a head toward the end. And finally, Leia figures out that her mother, Hana, is frequently up to no good. And at one point, another thing I've learned too is they flee to the countryside and go to Maya's uncle's home and try and get away from it all. But it turns out that these demons that are haunting Leia cannot be... You can't find escape from them just by occupying a different time zone. It's always something I've found interesting too about movies like A House or something where there's a demonic presence therein, and you always wonder, why can't they just go somewhere else? Something similarly with the Ethan Hawke vehicle Sinister. It's funny, I was actually going to podcast Black Phone this week, but actually encountered a French documentary on Netflix about a bunch of child murders, and then I got into it and then I realized that the subject matter dovetailed too strongly to Black Phone, and I figured it would be best not to engage in these kinds of thematic films too closely because it's so dark and so dour that I thought I'd do an about face and do a complete turn. And one of these Shudder productions came up in my feed, and I guess the algorithm is getting increasingly adroit at picking my the subject matter that I need to engage in. So here we are with Attachment. Another thing I've learned is that Ellie Kendrick resembles an ex of mine, which is quite interesting, who a woman I spent like 6 or maybe 7 years with, who also looks very, very similar, but an adult version of Orphan, that movie, that PG-rated horror film. That I saw that one in theaters as well, and Kendrick is really, really good as this kind of mousy but kind of cute academic who's working on a PhD thesis. I'm trying to think what her field of study was, but her character is different enough from the actor that it makes a quite a good, almost like a buddy pick dynamic between her and the Dane Maya, who comes from quite a different world entirely when you think about it. The heady, living in your head space of academia versus the more gregarious and outgoing temperament and occupation that is being an actor. And even though Maya hasn't worked in a while and she's resorted to doing these kinds of children's entertainment endeavors to pay the bills, I think that is a really neat distinction between the two main characters, and something that propels things forward is the fact that her name is Josephine Park, who's a Copenhagen born actress who's quite good in this, and Ellie Kendrick, who's also quite good. A very, very solid cast keeps things pumping because there are stretches of kind of inactivity, and then you get a few spots here and there where you get some nice terror happening. And again, particularly happening under darkness, particularly happening when Maya is awake and Leia is asleep, and these kinds of dynamics between them. And then finally, things get rolling toward the end when you start to find out who the real villain is and what they're up to. So a very kind of unique, very, very spirited at times, but ultimately I think somewhat lacking in a few departments. I think they could have gone for broke and gone for the gusto a little more. I think they could have stood to have a little bit more intense gore, or at least more intense. I mean, if you're going to interface with the kind of otherworldliness, then I think you need to really go for the jugular in a way that, let's say, a Hereditary does, where you have something that's just really heavy and really just dark and sickly sinister to lean into. At the very least, too, in the other side of things, the sexual dynamic between the two female characters could have been explored a little more roughly and a little more passionately as well, because it does have a very, very, very chaste kind of PG feel that I think could have been... I think if that could have worked on both fronts to really ratchet up the tension and the romance too, to just make them make it more sexual, make it more violent, make it more, I think, foreboding. There's a film I podcasted that was set in Romania that explored these outsider dynamics as well, and I think with a lot more tension and a lot more paranoia than we saw. Maybe it's just because it's hard to really feel the same kind of fear and dread and angst that you do in London, that you would with like a Bucharest, Romania. I think it's just completely different sensibilities city-wise, and I think that's I think that's something that could have been done a little more. But it's quirky, it's kind of spirited, it has its moments here and there. I'm not sure how it'll resonate with you if you're Jewish, particularly if it would take on a little more extra heft. There's a lot of cultural things going on there that you might appreciate more if you're on that, if you're in that faith. I'm not sure, but I think it has brought in enough appeal. And of course, it got a mass critical discussion just because of the fact that there's female principals and also lesbians and the queer women at the forefront, so which is obviously going to turn heads and give it more, I guess, for better or for worse, attention is something a little bit novel in the horror space, and maybe novel in any space, really. So I think 3 out of 5 for this one is kind of more than fair enough. I think the introduction of Lev as the bookkeeper and the different languages, too, I think it really help bring this one, add a sort of a unique insider-outsider dynamic to this, because there's frequent switching of languages between Danish, English, and Yiddish, and it's pretty cool. Like, I followed a lot of the Yiddish as a German speaker, and I didn't need any subtitles for that, and even some of the Danish had some elements that were similar enough to German that I could catch it, but then, of course, I flipped on the trusty subtitles just to make sure I wasn't missing any of the nuance. But this is a sort of a, you know, I think... I might have warmed to it a little more had I been in a different mood, possibly, and not entirely attached to, pardon the pun, the title, as it sounds like, again, a period drama rather than something that would be that would grip you by the balls and really not let go, and something that would really stake its claim in you as something that is terrifying. I think some of the pacing suffers. The terrors could have been ratcheted up a little bit, but 3, 3.25 for this one. Check out Attachment. And continue to check out the Really Awful Movies podcast, uploaded for your listening pleasure every Friday, exploring genre films of all stripes, but particularly honing in on our favorite horror, and seconded only by action, but films of all stripes. And we'll talk to you soon. Take care. Thank you.